This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
To Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida. The perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. A special hello to all you snowbirds out there hanging around the beach or the hotel. It is a perfect time to pick up a great book, and I have some suggestions for you, which I'll give you at the end of the program. Now, meanwhile, I have to just remind you that this half hour is brought to you by Larson & Larson. They are intellectual property specialists, so whether you have written a book or a movie script or even come up with an idea for a patent, Larson & Larson can help you protect your valuable work. For a free consultation, call 727-546-0660. They are my lawyers, and they should be yours. Well, I'm happy to have in the studio with me today Mike Sano, who has not only written three books, but got so enamored with the world of publishing that he actually opened his own publishing company. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
Oh, great. Nice to have you here.
It's nice to be here.
You know, the publishing world has changed over the past, especially 5 years. Things have changed so much. There was a time when no one self-published, and then suddenly people started self-publishing, and now your books are self-published.
Yes.
And, you know, some people think that, oh, self-publishing is not the thing to do. But, as I said, the world has changed, and a good example of it is a book written by Lisa Genova. I don't know if you know that book, but she wrote a book called Still Alice. And she self-published it, and Still Alice was, she used iUniverse, which is familiar to many writers. They go and look at iUniverse. Actually, it's probably very, it's very expensive. But iUniverse published her book, and she did a wonderful thing. She built herself a nice writer's platform and got herself out there. And got herself noticed, and within a very short period of time, she was picked up by Simon & Schuster, and the book was published back in 2009, and of course, they published it. It was on the best-selling list for 40 weeks.
Wow.
40 weeks. This self-published book, and this is the beautiful thing about it. You don't know what will take off. And in her case, not only did she have a bestseller, hardback bestseller for 40 weeks. It was picked up, and Still Alice is made into an award-winning film starring Julianne Moore. So this is what can happen from being self-published. So it's an exciting thing. And let's talk a little bit, Mike, first about your books. And I know your most recent one, which I got to, I like the name of it, Miles of Files. I just, you know, it's a great name. And of course, it's set here in Tampa. So I found it particularly interesting. Let's talk about your book.
Sure.
Your books first, and then we'll get back to publishing and the world of publishing. So tell us first about Miles of Files, because I really enjoyed it, and I was so happy that you sent it in to me.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's funny. Miles of Files, in a way, is actually sort of like the third of triplets, because they all came out on the same day on December 10th of last year, but it was the third novel that I wrote. And it's a story about a guy who finds out that his boss is apparently stealing from the company's retirement plan, and there's nobody to go to except for the big boss, who's the owner, and he's kind of afraid that if he tries to do something about it, maybe he's going to lose his job. So he's stuck in the middle of trying to determine, should I do something about it, or just live with the knowledge and hope that it's not really happening. So a lot of the book is about this inner conflict that he has. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff that goes on as well.
And now, Where did you get the idea from? Did you ever experience anything similar?
There was actually a company that I worked for once that it wasn't so much that I found out somebody was stealing from it, but they had a 401k plan for employees. And it went into a blackout period, and no one was able to monitor what was happening with those funds during that blackout period. The only way you could do it would be to go and look up all the funds that you're invested in and try to keep track of whether they're going up or down. So it's kind of unnerving, and it made me think, well, what would happen if somebody was stealing from that? How would you really know?
Well, I like the main character. Tell us about the main character.
Yeah, the main character is a guy named Paul Pane Pinto.
I love that name.
Oh, thank you. I had somebody tease me about it recently.
No, I the first time I looked at it, I love when I come across a name that I've never seen before.
Right.
And I thought, this is a beautiful name.
Oh, thank you. It's funny. I was thinking about where did that come from, and I was trying to remember because I've written these three books and there's a multitude of characters, and I think I was flipping through the telephone directory, and I don't think I saw that exactly. I think I saw something similar to it, but it's I have to kind of make fun of myself a little here. There's another character in there named Jorge Arce. And Jorge Arce is actually the name of a famous boxer. And I don't know why I didn't know that, because I'm a boxing fan. And after the book was pretty much done, I realized, oh, I've got a character named after a real person, but I didn't know it, even though I'm a boxing fan.
Well, I love the way sometimes these names come to us. You know, writers, sometimes, for example, there's a name I love, and nobody better steal this name because I'll get you. I'm going to use it in a book. Because it was a childhood friend. Her name was Marcia Sue Loretta LeClaire. I love that name.
Sure.
It's just such a wonderful name. And when I interviewed Doug Brunt, you know, Megyn Kelly's husband, about his book, Ghosts of Manhattan, I was saying to him, well, he had some good names in his book. And I said, well, how did you come out with those names? And he was saying that what he does is he just sort of roams down the aisles of the library in New York, and then he just comes across a book, and he'll just open it up and see if a name will sort of... He knows the character. He knows the person that he's writing about.
Sure.
But he just wants to get the right name for that character. And so it's such a fun way that writers have this this way of finding names. And, of course, nowadays, what's a television series? Castle. In Castle, he will name characters after people that he meets. And I think you can actually sometimes purchase. Some authors are now selling the rights to put a name in for charity.
Sure.
They'll put your name in a book, and then they charge you so much, and the money goes to charity, which is a cute idea, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
So anyway, so let's get back to your hero. And he is a hero in a... he takes on a task here. So it was fun to write this book. I think
it really was. I have
to say,
because
there is a lot of it is humorous, and yet it's a mystery. You know, a sort of a mystery. I don't know, thriller. You know, it's exciting, but I love books that have humor in it. It makes it, you know, it really moves along. So. Tell us a little bit more about how you developed him.
Sure. He actually, there was a little bit that I had in common with him, which is, it's not that he's autobiographical, but I did go through a period of time where I was working for companies where I was working a job that had nothing to do with my writing career, and I wasn't even using any of those talents in the company. And this guy is a little bit like that as well. He's working for an insurance company, and he's a painter, and what he really wants to do is work as a painter and get his work into galleries, and that can be a tough row to hoe as well. Oh. Just like trying to get into publishing, it can be like trying to get into the rock and roll business. And so I felt a little bit of a kinship with him in that respect, and that comes out a little bit later in the book, when he's sort of struggling with, you know, should I stay at this company, should I go, should I try to work on my... And I don't want to give away any of the plot, but he does get a chance to do a little bit of something with his painting later on.
Yeah, but it is, and I think it's a great read. It moves very nicely.
Thank you.
And, of course, we're going to talk in a little while about how well it is the physical book is looks. It's really a very, very professional job, and of course, when you're reading a book, a self-published book, the most important thing is that it has to be, it has to look professional.
Sure.
It can't look like a self-published book. The olden day idea of what a self-published book would look like. This could come out of any major publisher. It's so good, and beautifully done. Now I know on all of three of your books you have Miles of Files, which I love, Jana, which I haven't gotten to read yet, and Brother's Hand, which has an interesting story. Now all three of these, you are donating money from the proceeds.
Right. As a company, you know, starting my own business, I felt it would be important to give back to the larger community in some way. And I wanted to find some sort of a tie-in between each book and a particular organization. So, for example, Brother's Hand, the protagonist loses his hand in a tragic, bizarre accident. And so I wanted to find something that would be related to people who go through difficulties with physical challenges, and I went for the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund, which really deals with veterans, particularly coming back from war zones. And there is a little scene in that book where he's feeling sorry for himself because he lost his hand, and he's talking to his therapist, and she kind of gives him a little tough love and says, hey, you know, I deal with people every day with much worse problems than you. And by the way, some of them were born that way as well. So I thought that would be a potential tie-in to have that type of charity. For Jana, she's actually a young woman who comes out as a lesbian. And it's now a historical novel because it takes place about 20 years ago. And things were a lot tougher then for young folks going through that. And there's a organization called the Trevor Project out in California, which does terrific work with young people. They actually have a suicide hotline for young LGBT folks who are going through a real struggle with their identity. And so I thought that would be a good tie-in for that. Miles of Files, I couldn't really find a charity that was related to corporate crime. So I started looking for other options.
Don't send it to Bernie Madoff.
Right, yeah. So I said, well, Florida's got this beautiful climate that we live in and beautiful places to go. And I thought, well, you know, I've always felt strongly about the environment. And for me, you know, I feel my spirituality is really when I go out in the woods or go out to a beach. That's where I feel the best. And I thought, well, let's find a charity that's a good charity that works with environmental causes. And there's one called Earth Island Institute. And so I decided that would be where we would donate for sales of that book.
Well, that's nice. Giving back.
Yes.
That's part of it. And of course, as a writer, you know, writing is not easy. It's fun, but it's not easy. And so it's wonderful that you have this attitude that you want to give back to society, and I think that's fantastic. Now, all of these books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble?
They are.
Besides your website.
Right. I was going to plug the website.
I was going to say, it's you know, when you're buying books like this, I think it's so nice if you go to the author's website, and even famous people. I recently was speaking to Mike Resnick, who has won more awards for science fiction than anybody, and he's a best-selling author. But he loves when people go to his website. One of the reasons is because it's an immediate, he knows about it. You know, when it goes through a company, you sort of don't know. You don't have the same feeling. But when somebody goes to his website, he knows it that day.
Sure.
And it gives him a kick. He said, you know, like one day he'll, you know, suddenly maybe it's because he was on a radio program or maybe because he was doing something and, you know, an event. And he does a lot of, you know, the science fiction type of events. He gets such a kick out of seeing somebody come to his website.
That's
authors
true.
Do love it. And so I always recommend that you go to an author's website, and your website is?
It's my first initial, M as in Michael, and then Sano, S as in Sam, AHNO.com. Just msano.com.
msano.com. And I like that name, Sano. It's a very nice name.
Thank you. It's been a challenge my whole life because it gets butchered by folks, but yeah. I like being able to get it out there.
Well, I don't see why. It looks very easy when you see it. Sano is a nice name.
Spelled phonetically.
Exactly. And so, of course, it's great to go to the website and get these books, but you can also go to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other locations. Now, on your website, you also have Kindle version?
Right. The way it's set up is you can actually buy direct, since I published this myself through my own company, mm-hmm. Sano Publishing, you can buy the paperbacks directly from me. If you go to the website to buy the ebooks, you can choose if you want to go off to Amazon or actually through Smashwords, and that gives you the options. You could go direct to Barnes & Noble, iTunes, Kobo, etc. But if you go through the website, we have a newsletter, so you can put in your name and email, and then once a month or so, I'm going to be sending out an email with freebies. I actually sent a short story to the email list this past month. It had never been published. I just sent it out to people just so they'd get some extra content for free. Just for joining the mailing list.
Okay, well, that's a good idea. I like that idea. Now, we're going to take a quick sponsor break, and we'll be right back, and we're going to talk about your company.
Great.
Okay.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Looking for a good book? Whether you want the latest bestseller or a rare book, Haslam's Bookstore at 2025 Central Avenue in downtown St. Petersburg is the place to visit. Haslam's has been in business for over 70 years and is the largest new and used bookstore in Florida. With 30,000 square feet and over 300,000 books, you'll find just the right book for you. Bestsellers, cookbooks, military, history, and so much more. Check out their website, www.haslams.com, to find out about their special events. Remember, Haslam's, one of Florida's true treasures, 2025 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg, and they're open on Sundays from noon to 5.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my guest, Mike Sano, who is a author and a publisher. So, rolled into one.
Yes,
let's
ma'am.
Talk about your publishing business. Of course, you're located locally in Tampa Bay area.
In Tampa.
And let's talk, so what propelled you into actually getting into the publishing business?
I actually started to look at all the other platforms for self-publishing, and it seemed to me that there was something lacking in those options, just as there was an issue for me with getting into a major publisher. For one thing, as a self-publisher who is the company, I don't have to take a tiny slice of the margin for the sale of a book. It goes to the company, and so far I am the company. You know, there's a couple other folks, but it's basically going to me. But I quickly realized that as long as I don't yet have another book ready to go, I need products. So I realized in going through the whole process of doing all the things that one has to do to publish a book, I understood very quickly that this is not easy at all. Writing the book, we think, is very difficult, but actually all the business stuff that writers maybe don't want to do or don't know how to do, there are a lot of challenges to that. And I realized that I could help other folks who are in the same sort of niche that I am, which would be not a genre, but a general mainstream literary, however you want to categorize that. They could really use help in learning about marketing and becoming a marketer, even though they might not be comfortable with that to start, and then learning how to build not just a book, but build a business.
Well, I was recently talking to a writer, and I had to break the news to him that writing is a business. Right. Up until that point, he had not really thought about it. He was having so much fun writing, and everything's just flowing so nicely, and the book's coming along, and he's all thrilled about it. And then I had to bring him down to earth and say, it doesn't matter whether you self-publish or you find an agent. There's a lot of work involved, and right. It is a business. And that's why I would like one of the first things you have to do is you have to register your domain name. Most right. people who are dreaming about writing don't understand that they better register their domain name, because if you have a common name, it's going to be gone. And then you have to take, like, Bob Jones, you have to add Bob Jones Books. But if you have a nice name and you want to protect it, just get your domain name and pay for the 3 years up front, and so that it's yours until you're ready to actually get in publishing.
Right.
Because, as you said, you're talking about the writer's platform, and it reminded me of James Redfield, who wrote The Celestine Prophecy.
Right.
You know about him?
He was self-published.
Oh, he was self-published. But he did something very beautiful, and he just went out there with his... his platform was the back of his car. He filled it up with books, and he started moving around, selling and selling and selling, and going everywhere.
Sure.
And getting this book out. And he sold 100,000 books just from the back of his car.
Good way to go.
And, of course, that resulted in the book being picked up by Warner Brothers.
Right.
So he's made quite a bit of money out of it. But it shows you what you have to do. It's great to be, to get the book published and have it in your hand. But you have to be willing to do the work and the marketing. And there's a lot of things in marketing that you need to know.
Sure.
And, of course, that's something you've learned and that you're sharing with people when they come to you.
Exactly. Yeah. I actually started working full-time professionally as a writer back in 2001, and I've been doing marketing writing ever since then. So I had a feel for that, and I knew some of what to do. But then as far as actually doing the sales, a lot of us folks are solitary and a little bit introverted. And when you tell a writer you need to go out and sell, you got to sell yourself. Most of us cringe. And so I feel very...
But even Charles Dickens had to go out there and sell himself.
Sure.
get noticed.
He loved it, though.
He loved it, exactly.
You could tell.
And Mark Twain, too. They love it. So you have to find that joy in sharing your work.
Right. But I think for a lot of folks, it's very scary, and they really need some coaching, not only in building the platform, but learning how to do some marketing writing to market themselves prior to the publication. Put articles out there on LinkedIn, put something on Facebook, put something on Twitter, and get the voice out there and develop that.
And writing a press release is just about as daunting as writing a query letter.
It really is.
You can sit and write a mystery story all day long, and it's just wonderful. You can write a thriller, and you just get lost in it. You can write a romance, and just you go for weeks and weeks in a daze of romance, but then suddenly you're hit with the absolute obligation of writing that query letter or writing that press release, and your mind goes blank.
Right, and if you're a novelist, there are some novelists out there who write great short stories and poetry and all these other things, but if you're primarily a novelist, you're probably not known for being concise. And a press release really has to be concise, and every word counts, every paragraph. It's got to be dialed in.
That's true, and it is a hard thing to do. It's like I cannot stand, I can write a movie script in a weekend. I could come out with a brilliant movie script in a weekend, really. But you asked me to do the synopsis of that stupid movie script, and my mind goes blank. I just hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And so that's the same thing that happens, of course, when you have to do a press release or those query letters. And we're going to have a program about query letters coming up pretty soon, next month, because so many people are asking me what to do, because it is not easy to write a query letter. So we're going to talk about that also. But now, when we're talking about somebody comes to you with a book, just like anyone who is sending out a query letter to a major publisher, the book has to be in good shape.
Right.
And what happened, most writers, because you are so happy with your work and you're so pleased when you think it's ready to go, do not understand editing. Can you tell us how much do you love being told you have to have your book edited?
Well, it's funny because during that time, since 2001, when I was working full-time for another company as a marketing writer, I also did a lot of editing and a lot of proofreading. So I consider myself to be good at all of those things. But when you're self-editing a novel, which is a much larger project than these articles I wrote, it is a very daunting task, as you said. And what happens is you soon realize that you need to pay someone else to be an editor for your work, because they will see things that you just flat out did not see. And I just wrote an article and I posted it on LinkedIn about this, and it was top five mistakes that new authors make. And the first thing I put was not paying for editing. This is not something you can do on the cheap. You have to invest in that work because you want it to be as good as it can be. And my editor was excellent and pointed out things that I just never would have thought of, especially breaking up larger paragraphs into more digestible ones. I've read books that had three punctuation marks in the whole book. Gabriel Garcia Marquez and Faulkner and people like that. Well, you're not going to sell a book like that today if you're not a known quantity. And so I would sometimes write these long paragraphs and think they were perfectly fine. But a reader, a lot of times, will look at that and they'll say, oh boy, I don't want to read that whole thing. So if you break it down into two paragraphs, it's probably going to be a lot better and it'll just be easier to digest. And my editor was just invaluable with that, especially, and with a lot of other things as well.
Now, how long does the process take? Like, let's talk about Miles of Files.
Sure.
It's a nice size book. It has how many pages? I'm just going to look here.
About 330, 320. Right.
How long did it take to go through the editing process with your editor on that?
Well, this is a little tricky for me to answer because I did all three. The editor actually kind of sent them back to me one at a time over a period of months, and then I would start working on them. It's all kind of a blur now. I had this brilliant marketing idea, I thought, which would be put all three books out on the same day, because no one's ever done that. Well, I found out the reason no one ever does that is because it's three times as much work.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to do the proofreading after having done the editing and just make sure there are no technical errors. And one or two might have slipped through even after the fact. I don't know. The average book has about six errors in it, even if it's been published by a professional, by one of the big houses. And that's a lot to me, and I wanted zero. And I didn't get there probably. I probably got maybe one or two.
It's very amusing when you read the reviews on Amazon, and there is somebody always who can find those errors. And they will come and they will list the errors. And like the author really needs the whole world to hear about it. I mean, like, You couldn't send them a private little note about it.
Right.
They want you just have to get on Amazon and list all the typos and all the things. I mean, it's painful. And then to give it like one star because of a few typos or something.
Right.
Which I recently was reading a very, well-known author. And there were some typos in that book. And the reviewer noted them and then gave it one star. Everybody else who read the book, or the book itself, gave it 5 stars. But boy, that one person just couldn't leave it alone.
Thereby lowering the average to 3.5.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it was just awful. I felt so bad. I thought, oh, that poor author who woke up, you know. I've talked to writers, and some of them, of course, read the reviews in Amazon. Some of them read the reviews and say they've read them. Some of them read the reviews and say they never read them. And then, of course, probably the ones who don't want to be driven to drink never read them.
Right.
Because sometimes it can be very, very hard. So exactly that, it is important that a book be as error-free as possible.
Sure. Yeah, and it took a period of months over a good portion of last year prior to publication where the editor did the editing, and then I took the editing and incorporated most of the changes that were suggested to me. And then, of course, I had to go over it again because what if I made a mistake and there's a proofreading mistake that I am not seeing? So I actually edited, re-edited, and then proofread. And then after I got advanced reader copies, I actually had the book in my hand and I proofread the books again.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
It is funny. I get a lot of books like that pre-publication, and I do check them because in that case, the publisher's open for, they want to know, and
right.
they will correct them. So it is a nice thing to do. So, now, let's say we have a writer who's come to you, and they should have already paid for an editor to edit it by the point they come to you. What if they haven't? What if you get a book and somebody says, I've got my book ready, I think it's ready, and it hasn't been edited at all? What do you do?
In a case like that, we actually do offer that to someone. We do have a level of service for that, and my go-to my first choice would be the folks who did the editing for me because they are excellent. And if assuming that they're available, and that would actually go through me. So, the extra that they would have to pay for that would go from me directly to that editing company. But it's the best investment I made in my books, other than finding somebody who I really liked as far as the cover design and the interior layout. Editing is right up there with that. It's crucial.
So that's one of the things you have in shop. You have somebody who you work with who does
right.
cover design.
Right, exactly.
Which, again,
exactly.
is very important. And I noticed that your covers are very, very nice. And the nice thing about them is when they're shrunk down to the size of appearing in Amazon to be, clicked on, they're very readable because that's important.
Sure.
That a cover can't be too messy. It's too hard to read when it's on the internet to buy it. So, yeah, you've done a great job.
Now, thank you.
When you get an author and once you've convinced them if they need it to hire a to hire your services to do the professional editing, what's the next step? How long does it take for you to, now you physically take the book, what do you prefer people to have their files in? What format do you usually get?
It's fine to send a Word document. If it's in Word, as long as it's formatted, just your typical manuscript submission requirements, 8.5 by 11 paper, standard margins. I wouldn't do anything unusual from what everyone else does. Garamond or Georgia font, something that's standard.
Yeah.
That's, just typical. And people can find all those types of things online for any publishing house, really.
And then you take the book, and from there, once you consult with the writer, you sit down and you go over what you think the cover should look like, and they can choose. I noticed that you have very nice chapter headings, and you have, it's very, very nicely laid out.
Mm-hmm.
So does the author get to help you, you know, be in the selection process of what they like?
Sure, yeah. What I actually did, the gentleman, his name's Ryan Ratliff, he's out of Arizona, and he and I worked on the covers and the interior design together, and he would give me multiple choices, which was excellent. And I think that that's what we would want to do for anybody, because you don't want to just give someone something and say, okay, here's your book, and have them not like something about the cover or not like the interior design. So if you've got three covers to choose from, to me, that's perfect. You know, you've actually got choices.
Uh-huh.
And he did a fantastic job. And I liked, actually, a lot of them, I liked two out of the three. And then it was difficult to decide, you know, which one to go for.
And then you put it through your own formatting program, whatever it is, professional formatting, because I can see this is... Your books are formatted very, very professionally.
Yeah, that's actually all done through the same shop. So if somebody went through our company, they would have it all done together. It wouldn't be parceled out where they'd have to deal with, you know, five different people.
Exactly. That's important. Now I need to take a quick little break, and we'll be right back to talk more about publishing.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
Charles Ruttenberg Realty proudly sponsors Joy on Paper with Patsy Gill. Charles Ruttenberg sets the standard of excellence with residential and commercial real estate transactions and can help you on your next transaction, whether that is for a second home, investment, or downsizing. Call us today at 727-538-9200 extension 2 and allow me to help you. I'm John Rakowski, the broker at Charles Ruttenberg Realty.
Looking for a good book? Whether you want the latest bestseller or a rare book, Haslam's Bookstore at 2025 Central Avenue in downtown St. Petersburg is the place to visit. Haslam's has been in business for over 70 years and is the largest new and used bookstore in Florida. With 30,000 square feet and over 300,000 books, you'll find just the right book for you. Bestsellers, cookbooks, military, history, and so much more. Check out their website, www.haslams.com, to find out about their special events. Remember, Haslam's, one of Florida's true treasures, 2025 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg, and they're open on Sundays from noon to 5.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my guest, Mike Sano, an author and publisher, and we've been talking about his publishing company called Sano Publishing. Now, you know, again, we're talking about authors who are self-published, and I wanted to remind everybody of a very interesting case. I don't know if you've read it. It's called The Silo Series by Hugh Howey.
I have not.
Well, he wrote a short story called Wool, and it became very popular on Kindle Direct, and he put it just on Kindle Direct, and it was very, you know, people started talking about it, and Wool started, it's an interesting story, but I'm still, you know, this is what, you never know what is going to take off. So if you're interested in something really unusual, it would be check out Hugh Howey and Wool. And what happened is it took off on Kindle. and just kept going and going and going. And what happens with a book that takes off on Kindle, often the big houses hear about it.
Sure.
They watch everything. And Simon & Schuster picked it up, and they gave him $500,000 just to do the print. He managed to keep all the Kindle, which is enormous. I mean, you get a lot of profit from Kindle. Less, actually, profit from hardback books, usually. But he got the $500,000 up front, and he was very happy. And so happy, as a matter of fact, that once Simon and Schuster got involved, they brought it to 20th Century, and who have picked it up. So this is an example of what can happen with a self-published book.
Sure.
Again, he was one who did a platform for himself. He got out there and promoted himself, and it's worked out into big megabucks. So when people come to you, you help them get the book published. You help them get it into the right format so it looks really good. And that's so important. And then with the marketing, where do you go with them with the marketing? You write the press release, which is difficult for people. You send it out.
Sure. Yeah, there are a couple of different tiers for services, and the one that I would recommend to anybody if they're really serious about trying to find the best audience they can, the largest audience, it would be either the Sano tier, which is where they'd be working one-on-one with me, or the Marks tier, which is with my executive vice president of business development, Bennett Marks. And he actually spends his days telling folks who run multi-million dollar corporations how to spend their money. And he's done thousands of coaching sessions with people and helping them to, in this case, it would be build not just a book, but build a business.
Exactly. That's what you need when you want to get really serious and really, you know, get out there. I mean, if whether you're going to sell 100,000 books from the back of your car, or you're going to really push Kindle through the social media, Hugh Howey did that. He went with it. He had his book on Kindle, and then he went to social media, and he really blasted everything and really got his book talked about. And once that happened, and it got the attention of Simon & Schuster. So it is important to have that extra effort to get your book out there. And, you know, a lot of people who self-publish, of course, you probably know yourself whether or not your book has a wide appeal. If it's many people, and it's worth, if you're going to self-publish a book that's for your family or your people around you, it's still worth going to somebody like Mike to have it done professionally. I mean, if you're going to be leaving this book, you're going to sell it to everybody in your church, and you're going to sell it to all of the people in your country club, or you're going to sell it, you want it to look professional. So that's one level. But then if you want to get out there and really get noticed, then you do have to take that extra step and go the higher level of getting involved in the marketing, right, and learning how to sell yourself, which is...
Yeah, and almost everybody does, you know, unless they're already a well-known person, like a celebrity. I just read an article yesterday about this, how a lot of writers think that when they put their book out there, it's just going to sell itself. People will find it and buy it, but it really doesn't work that way. There are millions of books coming out every year. So it really takes a concerted effort to get that done. One good thing about being the publisher, in my case, is that anybody who publishes through my company, I'm a publisher, so I've got quite a bit of incentive to make sure that that person is successful.
Exactly. And it's true what you said. There are so many books now coming out, and even the very biggest authors have to get out there and sell themselves. They have to go to events, they have to go to book fairs, they have to go to fan fests, they have to go to all these places where they get attention from the fans and from readers. And then once they get to a certain level, of course, if you get to the level where somebody actually picks up your book for a film or a movie, then you're talking a different game because that sells your books.
Sure.
But that's something that you have to do. Now, even something, you know, it's so funny. I get a lot of questions, of course, about Shades of Grey. Shades of Grey is an example of a self-published book. And that went sort of ballistic, you know. But again, the author at the time didn't know this was going to happen. I mean, you right. always dream. I've had, you know, so many wonderful romance authors on. And, of course, they always dream that it will take off like that. But you don't know. That's the sort of the wonderful thing about life. You don't know what's going to take off. And of course, in that case, E.L. James, you know, wrote the book. It was published really basically on a fan site. And well, this is an example of why you need a good lawyer. She, of course, didn't know it was going to take off, and it took off, as everybody knows, into massive sort of astronomic level. And that took off in Australia. Actually, it took off in Australia from a fanfare kind of event, and from there it just grew and grew. And of course, because she hadn't protected herself. And this is why I'm so happy I have a lawyer as my sponsor, is because I know that what happens is if you're not protected and something takes off like that, she landed up in so many lawsuits that you can't even imagine. And, you know, and of course, whenever that happens, lawyers make money. So you always want to make sure that you have your lawyer first and get protected. So, we have a situation here where people can come to you. What, again, let's say the website so that people know where to come to you.
Sure. It's M as in Michael, Sano, S as in Sam, AHNO.com.
Okay. And if you go to Michael's site, there is he's got all the lists his services. And as he was mentioning, he's got four tiers, which are very nice. And each one will tell you what he will do for you. And, you know, it's very important that you think about all of this when you start writing the book, actually. And once you're ready to be published, you have to make sure that you go and think about doing it so that you're going to look professional, that the end result is going to be attractive and something that readers will enjoy.
Right.
And so I think, you know, Mike, you're doing a great job here, and it's very nice particularly for all the people in the Bay Area, that it's so convenient and that they can meet with you. And will you meet with them and sort of a no-cost consultation type of thing?
Sure,
to help them get the idea of what they need to do.
Yeah, I'm actually doing a local meetup here this weekend at a Barnes & Noble in Tampa, and people can come to that. It's almost closed out now because it's limited space, but I'm actually going to be delivering some just kind of a talk like we had today, but a little bit more in depth about what it takes. You know, it's the name of the meetup is "So You Wrote a Novel, Now What?" And so when people are looking at manuscript evaluation, of course I can't read an entire manuscript without any kind of compensation, but if somebody is looking to just have the first few pages of it looked at, I'm actually going to do that there on site at that meetup.
So it's Barnes & Noble. At what time is that going to be?
It's going to be this Saturday night at 7 p.m. Oh. At the Barnes & Noble on Northdale Mabry and Carrollwood.
Oh, that's great. That's a wonderful thing. I'll mention that again. We'll mention it today, and then I'll mention it again on Thursday so that people can plan to attend that, because that's exactly the type of thing that I know many writers are looking for. This beginning to start understanding the process, and it is a It is a fascinating process.
It is. And there are only a couple slots left at that, but I am going to be doing some other ones, and I'm going to try to move around in different areas of the state as well, just so I'm not, you know, so people aren't restricted to having to drive to Tampa to meet up with me and talk about it.
Okay. Well, make sure you let me know, and I will be happy to announce it
great.
So that people will know where they can find you and get together with you and talk about how they can get their book published, because there is nothing so wonderful as seeing your words in a book. And so it's really, I think you're doing a great job. So I want to thank you. I really enjoyed your book, and I'm looking forward to reading the other two. And again, they are available on Mike's site or Barnes & Noble, or if Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, people like to do that too, because they get free shipping. I don't know if they get free shipping with you, but it is a wonderful thing to do. And I hope that you have a lot of success with this and a lot of success with your company, because you've been in operation how long now?
I actually just started accepting manuscripts last month. So the publishing, as far as publishing other folks, this is just getting launched as of the beginning of.
And of course, you have a background in. You studied in university literature,
right.
And so you're well aware of what it takes to have a really good book, right?
I'd like to think so. I got that master's in English for something.
Okay, well, that's good. Now, I want to thank you, and just before I go, I want to just remind everyone that next Tuesday, my guest is going to be Margaret George. Now, there we're talking about an author who... Well, she built her platform, and it's a gigantic platform. Of course, she wrote Elizabeth One, and she is one of, she's one of the greatest historical novelists of all time. And the wonderful thing about her is her books are so well-researched and just beautifully written. And I'm so thrilled that I will be able to talk to her. And she's sold a zillion books, I think, and one. If you're interested in historical fiction, I would highly recommend that you get Elizabeth the First. I think it's just beautifully written. And next week she'll talk about the new book that she's working on, which is about Nero. And so I wanted to give a few other recommendations for great reading at the beach. If it's warm and if it's cold, to snuggle up in the house, although I think our temperature is going to go up. I interviewed recently Brad Taylor, and I just love The Forgotten Soldier. It is a wonderful book, a great, great read. And so I recommend that for every parent with preteen kids. I recommend Luke Reynolds' Looney Experiment. And for all of you people who love cozy mysteries, there is nobody better than Carol J. Perry and her Witch City Mysteries. And she has a whole bunch of them now. She just finished up on Valentine's Day, her fourth one. But there are already three available on Amazon. And that's Carol J. Perry and her Witch City Mysteries. Fantastic reads. Really nice. And, of course, David Edmonds' Lily of Peru. And David's going to be back on my program in a month. So, meanwhile, this is Patsy with a Z wishing you a great week. Remember, no, I'm not wishing you a great... Well, I'm wishing you a great week, but I want you back here on Thursday, because I've also got a wonderful interview coming up. And remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or hear them spoken on stage or screen. So, meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it. And see you on Thursday. Bye.